So this is the season when we are anticipating the humble and not so grand entrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Is that exciting, huh? Christmas is coming. It is. It's coming. I love this time of year because everyone is celebrating Jesus' birth. Whether they acknowledge it or not, they are celebrating his birth. And that is what's so cool about Christmas. There's lots of music. Some of it's about Jesus. Most of it is not. There's lots of decorations everywhere and sparkling lights and all the fun things that come with Christmas. Snow, and that was just for Pastor Michael and Danielle. Since we haven't had a lot of that. So that was especially for you, so you could have a white Christmas. And everyone appears to be happy, right? Yeah, right? But are they? No, they're not. Because outward appearance is not always inward reality. Everyone has this outward appearance of all the excitement, but there's a lot of things that come with Christmas. It's stressful. If you're looking at it in the traditional sense or the worldly sense of Christmas, it's all about give, 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 take, take, take. And so that can be very, very stressful. We have family things we get together with, and some of our families are not that great to hang out with. So that can be uncomfortable. So there's a lot of things that go on during Christmas that, as we look forward to Christmas and we look forward to that, how are we looking at it? Are we looking at it with the unsure anticipation like Joseph? What about this guy, right? He was truly walking in faith, wasn't he? Yeah. Oof, yeah? Look what he had to deal with. He had a pregnant girlfriend / wife to be. That's pretty intense, isn't it? He believed in Mary's virginity when no one else did. Wow. And he endured a lifetime of ridicule because of it. He bet his life on the words that an angel spoke to him while he was sleeping. I don't know about your dreams, but a lot of them aren't something like that. But he banked on that, and he believed God for it. He accepted the daunting challenge of raising the Messiah as his own child. Joseph, he was a strong, silent, almost unknown man who must have been more worthy than any other mortal man to be the guiding foster father of our living God. It was Joseph who was selected from among all men who would teach Jesus to work. Right? It was Joseph who taught him the books of the law. It was Joseph who, in the seclusion of his shop, helped him to begin to understand who he was and what he ultimately was to become. Man, that's an incredible task, isn't it? I'm pretty sure that living that out in real life was a lot more intense than we read in the Word. Because we get kind of this cursory childhood of Jesus. We don't really get a whole bunch about what Joseph and Mary were teaching him. There had to be a lot that went into them, knowing that he was the Messiah. Can you imagine that, Mom? I'm going to, well, maybe not. Okay. Or are we looking with excitement like the shocked shepherds out in the field? the heavenly host of angels appeared in the night. Wow. The heavenly host of angels appeared in the night. Wow, can you imagine that? They were just like hanging out with their sheep. It was night. They're probably hanging around having a cup of coffee over their campfire. And bam, the sky lights up. What just happened? And in Luke, he says it so calmly. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let's now go to Bethlehem and see what this thing that came to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." Wait, do you think that they calmly went, "Well, okay, that just happened. I guess we should go check it out." You think they very just calmly went, "Oh, okay, all right, I guess we should go."
No.
No. Good grief, that was huge. Right? Now that is what I call a night of worship. Can you imagine? Wow, the heavenly hosts, woo! And they're all standing there like, "Oh dear, what just happened?" But it had to be really cool for them, right? Because they knew who they were. The shepherds, nobody would have ever picked them to be the one that announces the birth of our Savior, right? Because they were poor, they were society's outcast, they were stinky shepherds. They were out there with the sheep. I don't know if you've ever been around sheep, but they don't smell very good. And yet, that's exactly what the gospel is all about. The last shall be first, the poor shall be rich, the least shall be the greatest, and the humble shall be exalted. I'm pretty sure the shepherds marveled at God's generosity and kindness, and they felt very unworthy. I'm pretty sure they did. Because I know I sure did. My first Christmas, after I accepted Jesus, was a little weird because I had never looked at the birth of Jesus as being something personal to me. My kids were teenagers. They weren't up for the, "Well, we're just going to celebrate the birth of this Jesus guy, but no gifts or whatever." You know what I mean? It was really, really strange for us to accept that. It was just so new because I accepted Jesus in August. Christmas came, right? Shortly after that. And it was pretty strange. He entered the world so he could enter into our lives. Are there times when you feel like the shepherds? Unworthy? Or why did he choose me?
Yes.
Yeah. Why had God chosen me, a very crass, hard-hearted, hippie chick, to tell people about Jesus? I'm looking around like, right, sure. Me? because you would not have liked the old me. And I probably wouldn't have liked you either. In that first year after salvation, we were learning more about what exactly had happened to us. We were in recovery. Ed got clean and sober, my late husband. But in that first year, we started to learn exactly what had happened to us. And it was pretty profound for us and for our family. But it took a full year for that to go from here to here, from my head to my heart, because it was based on a fact. It wasn't based on a feeling. And you know us, we're feelers. Yeah. And it took a full year for that to happen to me and to have that sorrow of how I had been the previous 35 years. The biggest reality check came in September. Probably going to cry through this one. This was the year after we got saved. Lloyd was there. My daughter, and later to become my son-in-law, were in a severe car accident. Both of them were nearly killed. That was when it was like, okay, this is where the rubber meets the road. Are we walking the talk? Because my children were nearly killed. We were supposed to go to an Alcoholics Anonymous campout in Beaver, Utah, and I did not want to go because my daughter was nearly killed. She had gone, they rolled three times. Her shoulder was ripped apart because she went through the driver's side. The wing window ripped open her shoulder. Her jaw was broken. And Kyle, my son-in-law-to-be, who is now my son-in-law now, they thought he was paralyzed. We got that call that no parent wants to get. We have your daughter. Do we have permission to treat her? We lived in Provo at the time, and it happened in Salt Lake. And we came up into the emergency room, and they wouldn't let us see Adrienne because she was in being x-rayed. But Kyle was laying on a table, and they said, he's paralyzed from the neck down. You can't touch him. His hair was long and blonde and flowing, and it was matted in the back with blood. And they said, you can't touch him. And Ed and I and Brad laid hands on him and started praying. And he got up from that bed. And the doctors are freaking out. They're like, you can't move. He's paralyzed. And he's like, no, I'm healed. They looked through the back of his hair, and the wound was gone.
Thank you, Lord.
That was the Jesus that we were serving. And that was the first year of our salvation. What a beautiful thing to experience. But when they had that accident, we were supposed to go down to Beaver to the camp out. And I didn't really want to leave her. And that was when I really understood what God did when he gave up his son to die for me. Was I willing to give up my child? That was huge for me to realize that he did that for me. We did go down to Beaver to the camp out. There was a whole bunch of us in recovery. We were all around a campfire. Lloyd's over there smiling. We were all brand new saved. I mean, we were still a little rough around the edges. But they were singing all kinds of silly Jesus songs that we weren't used to and all that kind of stuff. And Ed and I, my late husband, we walked away and walked up on a hillside and we started praying, which was pretty weird for us. We had been married 15 years at that time, and we had never prayed together. But we went up on this hillside and started praying. And as we were praying, a warm breeze blew over us, and I started speaking in tongues, which freaked us both out. With, as we're standing there going, what happened? And I now know that that was the Holy Spirit. So we came away from that. We got in the car. We were driving home. And he looked over at me. And he said, you are different. Wow. But it was such a confirmation of what God was doing in our lives. It was a beautiful time of fellowship with the God we were just getting to know. And that is what makes this so beautiful. Jesus died for you and for me. Wow. So for us as believers, this time of year is a time to just kind of slow down and look forward to the miraculous entrance of our Savior. It's a time for renewal and reminding us, what is it I really believe? Do I really believe this Jesus changed me? Now, we talked about the entrance of Jesus, but what about his exit? After all, he was born to die for us. The birth of Jesus addressed humankind's greatest need, the need of a Savior. But that didn't start in Bethlehem, did it? No, it started way, way back there with Adam and Eve and that apple. Because in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us. So what do we do about that? When we exit this world, we need a plan. It's not something that we're just going to go, okay, we're just going to wait till, oh, here it goes. No. In reality, we are not given a choice on whether we meet death or even when we meet death, only how we meet death. There's a story in the Bible about the death of a friend of Jesus. In John 11, a man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and his sister Martha. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Master, the one you love so very much is sick. When Jesus finally got there, he found Lazarus already dead 4 days. And many of the Jews were visiting Mary and Martha and sympathizing with them over their brother. Martha heard Jesus coming, and she went out to meet him. Martha said, Master, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Woo! Even now, I know that whatever you ask God, he will give you. Now, think about that. This was Martha going, giving him the what for about this whole thing, right? But that says a lot about her relationship with him. She loved him and was so comfortable with him that she could go, what, where were you? We know you're the Messiah and you could have stopped this from happening. That probably would have been me given him the what for. But verse 23 says, your brother will be raised up. And she replied, I know that he'll be raised up in the resurrection at the end of time. Right? Jesus said, you don't have to wait for the end. I am right now the resurrection and life. Woo! Yeah? The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this? Yes, Master. All along I have believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who comes into the world. Whew! There are three things I want us to hear today. First, Jesus addressed the world's greatest problem, death. He understood that sorrow that comes with missing the one we love. He understood the confusion of not knowing what happens after death. Second, Jesus shared the world's greatest news. There is life. Hallelujah. Beyond the grave, he told Martha, you don't have to wait for the end. I am right now the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. We can have eternal life with God. Hallelujah. That is so powerful. And third, Jesus presents the world's greatest offer. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Wow. And that same message is found in John 3:16, the baseball scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Wow. Jesus asked the most important question in the world. Do you believe this? I am the answer to life and death. And I want you to notice that he didn't ask her how she felt. He asked her if she believed. It's a specific question. Do you believe this? Lazarus' sister in the story affirmed that she did believe that Jesus was a savior. This then becomes our question today. Do you believe in him? Because when you believe, it will change your life. When you believe, you can know when you're going, where you're going when you die. Wow. And when you believe, you can know that you will be with Jesus. Wow. We have that comfort that the rest of the world doesn't have. We have that peace that only comes from knowing. Live or die. It's a win-win. So our exit strategy is planned. Amen. And that is what the Christmas story is all about. Our Savior was born to die for us. Whew. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as we go into this season of celebrating your birth, I pray that each one of us would reflect on our relationship with you and ask ourselves, do I really know you? I pray for every person watching and listening to this to open their hearts and ask you, Jesus, to come and reside in them and believe that you are the answer to life and death. And believing in you today will change the course of our lives forever. Thank you that you give us the ability to walk in the peace that only you can give us. In your precious and holy name, Jesus. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to come up front, talk to someone about what just happened. And you online, give us a call. Because Jesus loves you.